This is old age when you don't remember what you need to say. Isn't it? You don't know yet. Oh, it will definitely come. That's okay.
You take Brahmi.
Huh? You take Brahmi now. Wow, there will be an upsurge in Brahmi. Okay, so just settle, and then we can start with meditation. The silent meditation first. Silent meditation is there to make your mind a little bit like less emotional, okay? That's what it's for. You don't need to feel good. You don't need to feel peace. It's just that with a quiet mind, one sees things better. This is why one does this at the beginning of the meditation. So, again, don't think that if you're very agitated or whatever, or you're not feeling so great in your meditation that you cannot meditate. It's not the case. It's okay. Meditation is not for the sake of feeling good. Meditation is for the sake of knowing with a clear mind these facts that you are being spoon-fed by me, by the Buddha, by whatever. So especially the meditations that follow now, be very clear in your mind. These are ways of thinking for somebody who wants to develop bodhicitta. For somebody who wants to become a fully awakened being. And that's not ordinary thinking. So if you try to press that into your ordinary thinking so that it fits, of course it will not work, okay? And this is done voluntarily. This is not done, you know, if you think, no, this I can't do because it will be very dangerous or I will not be able to survive, then you don't do it. Nobody can force you to become a Buddha or like I prefer to say a fully awakened being because it has nothing to do with Buddhism. Nobody can force you to train your mind to its highest level where you see things as they are not stuck in your emotional responses and appearances anymore. You will have to make that decision. Yeah. Usually one says it's good for us and it's good for others. Then you check, is that true or not? So that's what I mean. So if you feel yourself getting upset or even angry that somebody's saying that, the Buddha, when he gives us these instructions, he's talking to bodhisattvas who want to go to that goal, to encourage them, to even sometimes criticize them and scold them even sometimes so that we get going. Okay? If you don't want to go there, why would you listen anyway? Yeah. It is a very high goal. You know, we should not underestimate that. But imagine the world where everybody is just concerned with the happiness of the other. That would be, we can maybe see if you have a very small village somewhere, but it needs to be really small, and the people are quite advanced and quite mature and grown up, and they all take care of each other. No fighting, no locked doors. One needs help, the other one is there, you know. But the moment the other one says, but I need you to pay back, that's it. The problem is there. The problem is there. And this is what, you know, wars have been existing in the world since beginningless lifetimes. You know, because of this self-cherishing. It was so funny last night. Because I have my telephone, I can read the emails, so just so that you know. Because I have a lot of emails and I need to answer also. So I have one friend who is, he was very, very intelligent. He was in a special school. All of a sudden his mind snapped and he went mad. Total different reality, psychotic, you know, stood under the shower, dressed for 24 hours until somebody found him. But now with medicine, he is like, this is now 30 years later. With medicine, he is more or less okay. So he usually asked me, what are you doing? So I said, I was in Israel. And then he went, I'm tired of this conflict. It's got nothing to do with me. So he's like, he knows that with me, he can express himself the way he wants to express himself. And he usually writes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when he's really agitated. But then he's telling me the partner of his cousin, they were in a train station in Switzerland, 12 o'clock at night, something like that. And then there was somebody with a baby, and his partner just made a comment that maybe he's not so skillful to go out at midnight with a baby, and he was nice in hospital. Because the father of that baby just bashed him up. That's Switzerland for you. It's also war. There's war everywhere. You know, this is what we have to try to understand. Where does it come from? Not being concerned about others. I mean, also, he didn't have to say something like this, to be honest. I mean, it's none of his concern in a way, but, you know. I tell you, in Switzerland, we have neighbor war, neighbor with everybody is Swiss, starting hating to each other and getting upset about every little noise that the neighbor makes. And we talk about noise pollution and, you know. And by the way, you know, this whole recycling in Switzerland, it's not that Swiss people have it in their genes, but we have to pay for the garbage bags. For a 30-liter bag, we have to pay 5 shekel. One. Not a roll of it. One. So it's a very clever way of making people kind of divide their garbage. It's starting here also. Yeah, it really works, you know. And then we have the garbage police that if you put garbage out with the black thing, they go through the garbage until they find whom it belongs to and you really pay a hefty fine. Yeah, but it works. It really works, you know. And the garbage is getting separated. And that's what I think is not working yet here. This needs to be more education and more effort, you know, because if every brown thing that you open, look what's inside, just ordinary garbage. So that's not garbage separate. The system would be in place, but I think it's not. People need education. It doesn't come by itself, as we say. The Swiss people don't have any dead genes. We also needed education. And we have to pay. Then it works, you know. And it's a shame that it's the same, you know. It's the same with everything. That we have to then see what is more painful, to separate the garbage or to pay the fine. So then separating the garbage is less expensive and less painful. This is how human beings are. This is what self-cherishing is doing. Okay. So just that you don't think I'm very proud of being Swiss and that, you know. I know why we separate the garbage. Because we have to pay. Same as in Singapore, you know. You go to Singapore, spotlessly clean. You go to Malaysia, where the Singaporeans go for the weekend on the beach, they let everything lying on the beach. The Swiss are not like this. I mean, but they are also, hey, wait, my generation is not like this because we really learned. If you go to, after an open-air festival in Switzerland, go to see the grounds, tents are there, mattresses are there, garbage, you know, tons of garbage is there. Yeah. Young people, they lack this education. It really needs education. We do not do this from our own side, unfortunately. So like that. So if you are not like this, if you don't litter, then great, you know. I thought maybe we could offer to the kibbutz here that we do one Shabbat Dharma with morning meditation and the rest is cleaning up the thing. You know, we did that in Dharamsala sometimes. Everybody with the plastic bag, gloves, and a stick, and we go and clean it up. It's really nice to do that, even if it's not your stuff. We did it in Malaysia on the beach also. Also out of self-cherishing because we wanted to have a clean beach. But then the beach was clean, yeah? So that's good self-cherishing in a way. And what you have to then be very careful, if you start to really be careful, separate your garbage on that you're not getting angry at the ones who don't. Yeah, this then is your job. Because anger doesn't make them do it, okay? Just do it. People will see you as an example all of a sudden if you do it in a relaxed way. If you do it like, look at me, I recycle, bah, you know, and you don't. Eh. You know, that's not the right way of approaching these things, I think. Don't think so. Okay, let's start. Let's recycle our negative emotions. Transform them into love, compassion, and wisdom with a recycling plant of wisdom and compassion. So just try to sit comfortably, relax. We're almost done. You've been very brave. So, you know, the feeling of, wow, it's almost finished, that is good in a way. But it creates the habit of always having to wait until something is finished before you get happiness. So just try to have happiness that you've done it, that you're still here. That is a much healthier happiness than, wow, great, I can go home very soon. And again, don't forget, you made the decision to come here. Nobody forced you. And as I said at the beginning, the door here is always wide open. You want to leave? That's fine. So just relax. It's almost finished. can take a little break. And you go back in posture. So in order to stop that self-cherishing attitude that prevents us to have lasting happiness, we need to stop seeing ourselves as different from others or others as different from ourselves, especially as inherently different. As long as we see ourselves as inherently different, we will always make effort to take care of ourselves first. Me and mine. So that is included. Both from the gross self-cherishing view and from the more subtle form of self-cherishing, just seeking one's own happiness. Or even if we want to go that far, one's own liberation. But that's a very subtle form of self-cherishing, and it doesn't really harm anybody. We put so much emphasis on our own pleasure by thinking of ourselves as the most worthy. We think that my suffering is the greatest, and that becomes again a condition for all our disturbing thoughts to rise and blocking love and compassion. Just try to feel that self-importance that we all have. I am special. My happiness, my pleasure is so important. My suffering is the biggest suffering of all. Don't do this in the head. Look at your gut feelings, at your instincts, at our behavior. We have to reflect on this point, that we have this view that there is an inherent difference between me and others. So what we can begin to understand is this self that we grasp at any moment. But that one is arising depending on many causes and conditions, factors, and our own mind. See, we think we have one eye, but that eye behaves totally different when we relate to different people. You relate to a friend, it acts differently than when you relate to somebody you dislike. So the behavior of this I is totally dependent on whom is in front of you. So when we think we're inherently different from others, we think we're not dependent on them. And this different way of behaving becomes uncontrollable, unconscious, comes automatic almost, because we have developed that view, I am different from others. Because of a particular character of a person, we tend to relate to them in a particular way. Sometimes we're very friendly and happy with some people, and very serious and heavy with others. Not only is our behavior different, but the I that is behaving in this way is a different I, arising dependently. So the I that we are is depending on somebody else, depends on the other person, a friendly I or an unfriendly I. Then to decrease that self-cherishing a bit is also very important, to reflect that my very existence depends on the existence of others. So how can I make myself more important than others? Even if we're doing retreat here in a very advanced technical meditations, then in order to be able to do this, we depend on the food and water that is being supplied. The water pipes put in by a simple plumber. The vegetables grown by simple farm workers. So whatever fantastic qualities we may develop, it arises totally depending on others, that we may see so different from ourselves, but our qualities that we develop in this retreat have arisen from them. And if we look at these simple people, very often they have much better qualities than we have. Being very intelligent can make you very haughty and very arrogant. And those are not happy minds. Then we can reflect that when I look at other people, I can see many differences between myself and others in age, in nationality, in education, physical appearance, gender, culture. All these things, beliefs, behavior, good and bad, this and that. So many differences my mind can fixate on, that the self-cherishing can say very easily, I am different and superior. But if we look at the motivation behind all these activities that all these beings are doing, we can see that there's just the wish in each person, why they're doing what they're doing, is just simply to be happy. What they are doing might not be the cause of happiness, doesn't matter, but their motivation is wishing to be happy. And if I check, everything I do is in order to be happy. Even when we get angry because we want to be happier. Because something or somebody seems to be standing in the way. We don't get angry with the motivation, the wish to suffer. We get angry because we want to be happy. It's such a paradox. But because of that wish to be happy, there is no difference between me and others. Or can you really find the difference between your wish to be happy that motivates your actions and the wish that motivates the actions of any other human being or even animals? Is there a difference in that motivation to be happy? If we look at some animal or an insect eating, or a human being eating, myself eating, what is the difference? We all do it just to stay alive and to be happy. Can you find a real difference in your reason for eating the way you eat? To the way somebody else is eating? Is your reason for eating somehow more special? Not what you eat, but the reason for eating what you eat. Is that really different from the reason why other beings eat? Can you really find a meaningful and logical difference there? Similarly, if I look at other people's behavior, it looks so different, and my self-cherishing can say that my behavior is superior and so on. But if again we look at the motivation, it comes down to not only wanting to be happy, but to be free of suffering, avoiding it, avoiding problems. All the different things that humans and animals do, the reason they do it is to be free of suffering. The reason I do it is to avoid suffering, because I don't want suffering. Is my wish to avoid suffering really different from another being wanting to avoid suffering? is it really different? It feels like it is, but is it really? We are all equal in being reluctant to experience even the smallest suffering. We all share fundamentally the same suffering and the same happiness. The happiness that somebody else is experiencing, and then I feel jealous, thinking, I deserve that happiness. We had that experience before in past lives. Or particular pleasant experiences which I'm proud of, which sets me to be above others. Others who had that experience in other lives, also many times. So when you're jealous of somebody, you feel totally different from that other person, separate. But what they experience now in happiness, we have experienced before. It's just a difference in time, but not a difference in experience. And whatever suffering arises in us, that is the very one that we do not want. The suffering that we are experiencing now is the most unbearable. It's the same for everyone. Whatever suffering a sentient being is experiencing, at that very moment is the suffering that they don't want. That one that is unbearable. And then just consider that reality. That our delusions are the same. Because of ignorance, I have a potential for all the other delusions. Other sentient beings have ignorance and therefore have potential for all the other delusions to arise. Can I say that my attachment is different from others? It may manifest at different times in different ways. But the mind of attachment is just attachment, whether it is in my mind or in others' mind. And I might think that this person is much more angry than me. But this is just something temporary. If we meet that object of anger, our anger will become very strong also. We can look at another person doing something very negative or read about somebody who has done that and think, oh, how terrible. I could never do that. And most probably we would not do that with this kind of mind and body that you have now. But the fact is, in past lives, we have done every possible negative thing many, many times. And if we have the imprint to do these terrible things in the future, then it is just at the moment that I am not doing it. And this person is doing it right now. So again, it's just a difference of time. These actions are the same. And we could all recognize how human minds can be manipulated, especially when they suffer and when there is fear. Under these situations and conditions, we might do exactly the same thing. So where is the real difference? So the very basis of this holding to one's own life is this belief in this I, which exists spontaneously in the very depths of our heart. So just try to be aware of that sense of I right now. That there is this feeling of I right now. Don't worry if it is inherently or validly existing. This is not so important at this point. Just a simple experience of it. And as you are aware of this sense of I that is the most thing in the whole universe, my own I, then just be aware that everybody in this room has that thought of I, clinging to it, believing in it, instinctively. Is there a real significant difference between my clinging to the I and the clinging to the eye of the person sitting next to me? Try to feel right now the equality between oneself and the other people in this room, just simply because we have this thought of I. And the thought, I want to be happy and I don't want to suffer. We're all the same. And you can let your awareness go left and right and spread it all over the of Yechiyam. Go down to Nahariya, over to Lebanon, Syria, wherever. People in the streets, the bus drivers, the shopkeepers, the shoppers, office people, the homeless, the children, the teachers, the butchers, the spiritual practitioners, the criminal, the victim. Everyone just simply has the thought of I instinctively arising, and with it the thought, I want happiness and I do not want to suffer. Can I really make a difference between myself and others? Just allow the mind to try to grasp that. That we are so much the same on many levels, and especially on that very fundamental level. Everybody acts the way they're acting because we all want to be happy. And none of us wants to suffer. So we can make a strong determination to be more and more mindful in our daily life of this sameness of self and others, rather than focusing on the external differences, the superficial differences that only cause confusion, self-cherishing and negativities to rise, to block love and compassion. We're all equal in wanting happiness and not wanting suffering. This is the most important thing that one should focus on. That will protect my mind. That thought really liberates my love and compassion for others. So again, it's totally up to us. As long as we see differences, significant differences in me and others, there will be conflict, fighting, unhappiness and suffering. It's only when we start to see the sameness, which exists on many levels, the thought of I and them changes into us. And then we behave differently. More happiness for us, more happiness for others. Less suffering for me, less suffering for the beings around me. And we can really start to think like that in our workplace, at home, in the family, with our friends, and in the streets. If you get blocked in a traffic jam tonight, just think, everybody who is around me is in the same situation, and everybody wants to get home really fast. Where is the difference between me and them? And then just see what happens to the mind. Because getting impatient in your car is not going to dissolve the traffic jam. It just makes it more unpleasant. So now, as a good practitioner, you should hope for a traffic jam tonight. Then when there is a traffic jam, is no problem. If there is none, is also no problem. This is lojong, mind training. Being prepared for difficulties so that you can try these methods out if they work. If there's no difficulties, we're not creating them superficially, because so easy to find problems in life, you know. And all these difficulties in life are like the gym for your body. You know, the fitness room for for your body. Fitness room is for your body, and the problems in life is for your mind to develop. So the good things about the problems in life, you don't have to go anywhere specific. They're everywhere. You don't need a membership card. You already have it. It is not be to be renewed, and you don't have to pay any entrance fees. It's all free. So it's great. The machines are there, your neighbor. Be it the person sitting next to you in the meditation who is moving all the time and has a cold and goes, you know, while you are totally absorbed in shamatha, and then he's like, they're destroying my meditation. No, the anger is destroying your meditation, not the, you know. So like that. Yeah. But you and your neighbor, no matter where that neighbor is, totally the same. A person who has a cold makes because they don't want the snot to go on their clothes. And it's unpleasant if you have a runny nose. So if they don't have a handkerchief with them, then, you know, they have to pull it back up. And we would do the same, most probably. Maybe not in public, okay, but if you're at home, to be honest, yeah? You're at home, alone, you have a runny nose, you're too lazy to go and find a handkerchief, what do you do? Can you show me what you do? What do you do? Okay, somebody said like this. What else do we do? Yeah, we're all the same. Some do it only privately, others do it wherever they are. So what? We're all the same. It's the same action. It's exactly the same action.
Then you can see. Thank God you can't see in our heads.
What? The thoughts. Well, same. Totally the same. I would recognize them. You see, why is a spirit? Because everybody who watches their mind knows the mind of others. We're all the same. Self-cherishing, little me, not getting what I want, ooh, poor me, you know. We're all the same. Fundamentally, we're all the same. I want to be secure. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be too hot. I don't want to be too warm. I want to go home fast. I want to have good dinner at home and dare if there is a mess at home when I come home. Yeah, we're all the same. We're all the same. So why make all these differences? Shall we offer the food? So that we cut the attachment to food. So when we offer the food, we think we offer, it's page 29. We think we offer it on behalf of all the beings who have not free access to food. You know, kind of you give your mind that visualizes the Buddha, and you give your voice that says the words, for others to create the positive energy that we have to have free access to food. You see, we take this for granted that we have free access to food. Of course, you need to pay for it. I mean, in the shop here, I don't know if you're aware of it, what is happening here. We trust you so much that we give you a bed, we give you food, you can put whatever you want into that box. If it's cash, nobody knows how little or how much you put it. Are you aware of that trust that is being given to you? Because I think you all know that we have to pay the kibbutz. I mean, me, not me. The group of the Dharma friends. I think you're not that naive to think that they're giving it to them for free because we're such a wonderful group. And from time to time, there's this funny person with no hair and red clothes who picks up occasionally a plastic bag who's on the floor. Occasionally, okay? I don't think that's then they say, oh, they're so nice, we just, let's not charge them. We give them the food for free and all this. All the materials also, the printers, you know? In Singapore, maybe, these things would have been given maybe by a printer who sees the validity of sponsoring religious texts. Yeah, but here in Israel, Buddhism, you know, I'm not sure. Has the printer ever said, may I sponsor that for the group?
I don't think so, but I don't think that they even sponsor it if it was a Jewish something.
Okay. In Asia, they do. In Asia, most of the books, study books, are free. The government, but who is the government? Government is you. You pay taxes. No, no. I mean, somebody who has a printing shop in Asia could well be. They say, oh, that's okay. It's for free. Or at least they give you a big, big, you know, they only cover what they really need to have. So that's what I mean. So you're not naive. You are being trusted that you take responsibility of what you have, okay? And I'm always so inspired by the system because it means that these people have a lot, they have to give more because otherwise it doesn't work. So that people who really have no money, they don't have to come begging and saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't pay. Please, can I? But I really want to do the course, blah, 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 you know. And then it's always this, it's almost, it's very difficult to not do it. You look at their shoes and at their watch and at their car and you think, oh, I wonder if that's true. That's a big trap, you know, because maybe they spent all their money on the watch or on the car. Now they don't have money to give for the course. Doesn't mean if somebody has an expensive car that they have a lot of cash, you know, by the way. Sometimes it's actually quite the opposite. So this system still works after how many years now? For 15-something years. And it's really great, you know, that the Dharma Friends are still able to offer it like this. But then if people don't take that responsibility to give according to their means, you see, this is the first step of learning how to share. Because if you would have to pay for these methods, you could not pay. If you would have to pay according to value, you know, just think, what does an hour, a psychology hour cost? Yeah, so this here, you learn to become your own therapist where you can save afterwards all this money, you know? So this is not to trick you into giving money, okay? I hope you understand that because, like, my journey is paid. I paid for it. If I get the money back, it's fine. If not, it's no big deal because I have a return ticket to go back to Switzerland. I think also the bill for this visit here, like, you know, we here, can be paid. But if you do not take that responsibility, then there will be no more teachers coming because what you're actually paying is for the next course. This one is paid. That's okay. And somehow it seems as if the trust that the Dharma Friends are giving you is so powerful that sometimes even if there's very little coming for the participants, that still, there's money. I don't know how this works. I really don't know how this works. It's the same as with me, you know. I decided, like, when I was 40, not to work anymore for money. And I figured out that the money I had, it was 60,000 Swiss francs, that it would be enough for 24 years in India. So I could just barely go to my pension and then receive that money that I get. I still have the same amount of money. Logically, I don't know how to explain it. I really don't know how to explain this logically because I didn't plan to teach and then get dana. Most of the dana that I get, I always give it away. I don't know how it works. And I think it's a little bit for the Dharma Friends also because they give you this trust that you will take responsibility for what you have, not for what it costs. This is what in the West we have to switch, you know. It's not fair that the rich person pays the same amount for I was about to say cheese, sorry, for cucumbers. It's not fair. It is not fair that they pay the same amount. Yeah. So you see, if we would have people who are mature and when they're rich and they're happy and they see, wow, I have so much. This is what Asian people understand. This is why they donate so much when they're rich. Huge amounts, you know, because they understand I have money now because I donated in the past. So this is a very nice situation. So therefore now I donate again. Yeah, they understand this working. We don't. Swiss people especially also, they think, you know, abundance comes from saving. No, it comes through generosity. And it's such a happy mind. Yeah. So this is what I mean. So that somehow it works, the system. I'm not telling you that to trick you into giving more money. I'm just telling you, don't stop thinking how much is it worth, because then you would have to give, you have to empty your whole bank account. Because if you really practice this, you will never have to go to a psychologist again, ever. And you can attain lasting happiness without needing outside conditions. How are you going to pay for that, to be honest? How? So, you know, stop thinking what is it worth. Start to think, how much can I give so that this can continue if you find it really valuable? If you don't find it valuable, then I don't know why you're still here. It can't be for the nice room or for the food. Unless you really have terrible conditions at home. Which could be, I don't know, you know. I mean, come on, we have people from Eastern countries who come to rob Swiss houses, not so, and they get caught, they say, well, doesn't matter, your prisons are much more comfortable than what we have at home. Yeah? So same for the refugees, you know, one is the Western countries, we're trying to give the refugees, unfortunately, or, well, I don't know, I mean, I'm not making these decisions. For me, it's easy to say, unfortunately, because I don't make these decisions, very uncomfortable living space. But whatever we give them is much more comfortable than bombs falling, dead people in the street, being injured, finding no food, you know. Whatever food any country gives them is better what they find at home. So that doesn't work to keep them away. That doesn't work at all. At the moment, Germany and Switzerland, we're really overrun by refugees from Syria, Egypt, Eritrea, you know. And they're starting to put up tents for them. And now they're starting to think a little bit differently. Let's give them work so that they don't become criminals. It's about time that one starts to think like this. Now that it's like, you know, these waves are coming. Why do you think they run away from their home? Because it's such a nice place to be? Huh? Why do you think? Yeah, because they don't have the money to pay for the transit, which costs from $5,000 to $20,000, okay? So what are you saying, Benny? What are you saying?
I'm saying
that we should not complain and we should not think about these refugees. What are you? No, it's really seriously. Benny, why did you make that point?
I'm saying that to be thankful, for instance, because I'm a bit involved with the refugees in Germany. And German government does really, really good things.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, until they can still cope with it.
Yeah, think about the really, really poor places like Jordan, who have very low capacity and they take in millions of refugees. And they're the...
Okay, I can think of them. Then what does it help them if I think of them?
Well, then you can also give money to the Jordanian government, for instance, the Swiss government.
I'm not the Swiss government, unfortunately. So you're talking to the wrong person because I really give as much as I can. Okay? But from your side, I'm not criticizing you, okay? It's just like, I can only talk what I know. I don't go to Jordan. I don't know, okay? So I think it's really good if where we are, where I am, that one starts to think, how can we solve this in a good way? I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. And I'm not criticizing. Again, why do you hear criticism all the time? I'm not criticizing. I'm just stating facts. We're not used to that. Okay? We're not used to that. And what is frightening there is the criminality. That is what is frightening people. This is why they lock up. This is why they don't want them. Because there is a lot of criminality from the refugees. It's also a fact, you know. Let's not go. This is why I think left and right always kind of, they can't work together because one sees in very one-sided way. I really want these refugees to be able to stay. But I also understand when the right wing comes and says, look, but they're, you know, Because it's true. It's a fact. We need to see facts. And all of it, and not just one side, I think. Then maybe something will happen. And I do admire Jordan, who is open. I also admire India, who let in all the Tibetans without any restrictions. A poor country like India, you know. That really deserves a lot of respect. Okay? Can we offer the food? So, exactly. We offer the food for that reason, on behalf of all these refugees who have difficulties finding food, so that with the wish, may they also be able to create the karma, because it is karma, whether we want or not, that they are in that situation. May they also be able to create the causes so that they have free access to food, so that nobody needs to steal for food, nobody needs to kill for food, nobody needs to create negativities for food. So we think of all the hell beings, the hungry ghosts, the animals, the humans, the spirits, and all these beings. We offer the food on behalf of them. Same way as if somebody cannot go to make a payment at the post office, and they ask you to go. You use your body to go, but you're not getting proud of that thing because it's not your money that you're giving. Okay? So this is the purpose of offering on behalf of all the beings. And then another purpose of offerings is like that we think, may this food become medicine for the body so that it does not create addiction nor allergies. I mean, if you look how sensitive bodies are these days, there's so many people can't eat this, can't eat this, can't eat that. Life is very difficult when you have all these, either just likes, you know, it can be likes, which who knows if these likes create the allergies in the next life. I don't know. You know, when we say, oh no, don't like this, don't like this, don't like this, then the mind might solidify that. And so then, you know, can't eat this, it might turn into can't eat this, can't eat that, and all that. Who knows? I don't know, you know. Just learn to be hungry before you go to eat, and then everything is good. Really. In German we say, like, hunger is the best cook. Okay. I contemplate how much positive potential I have accumulated in order to receive this food given by others. I contemplate my practice constantly trying to improve it. I contemplate my mind cautiously guarding it from wrongdoing, greed, and other defilements. I contemplate this food, treating it as medicine to nourish my body. I contemplate the aim of Buddhahood, accepting and consuming this food in order to accomplish it. Then imagine the food as blissful nectar inside a vast jeweled vessel and recite Om Hung. Then when you eat it, you offer it to a small Buddha. Visualize that your heart chakra who experiences bliss and radiates light that fills your body. Om Hung, Om Hung, Om Hung. To the precious Buddha, the peerless guide, to the precious Dharma, the peerless refuge, to the precious Sangha, the peerless liberators, to the three jewels, we make this offering. This food, which has 100 flavors, is mouth-watering and well-made. We offer with faith to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. May all beings enjoy the food of concentration. We see this food as medicine. We eat it without attachment or aversion, not to increase arrogance, strength, or good looks, only to sustain the body. So if you have a problem with food addiction, then repeat these two verses again and again and again, you know. Especially that one, I see this food as medicine. I eat it without attachment or aversion. Because that changes your approach to the food. Yeah, everything is dependent on the mind. It's not to increase arrogance, good looks and strength and look at me, how fit I am. It's only to sustain the body. This is for the people who do bodybuilding, you know, when you gobble up all these proteins to have big muscles. Not for strength. If you want to use your strength to be of benefit to others, then of course that's fine. But I don't think bodybuilding is so much for the benefit of others. And these people really, I mean, they get, if you stop, wow, big body problems, you know. Okay, let's go and enjoy the food. You should enjoy your food. Because when you enjoy the food, then you have gratitude. And you can break your silence if you want. If somebody wants to eat in silence, just take your plate and go away somewhere where you can sit in peace. But other people, because we have been together for quite a while now, so I think it's also important that you communicate with each other without any self-cherishing and only being concerned about others, huh? Huh? What? Yeah, the silence is over. I'm not going to say what Leora said. No, that would be not. That would. So, yeah. So, those who haven't broken the silence, then the silence now is over. For those who have broken it, you have nothing to break anyway. So, like this. So, whoever. Huh? You're back at 1:15. Yeah, 1:15, so you have 1 hour for eating. Okay? Thank you. And you will see you will have great difficulty.